And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. It is Maggie and Perloff. In just a few minutes, Will Brinson, CBS Sports senior NFL writer, CBS Sports HQ NFL analyst, will join us. But if you are listening to us, Antonio Brown's still talking. I mean, he has been everywhere over the past 48 hours, and the story has just been exploding. And he's really taking aim at everyone. You know, some of the latest quotes to come out are he doesn't understand why Antonio Brown had to be on a prove it deal when Rob Gronkowski was able to get paid. And this is sort of the taking the shots at Tom Brady. Like, Tom is sort of the one who is vouching for these guys and saying, bring in my guys, bring in these people that I want. And why do I have to be on a prove it deal when Gronkowski's going to get paid? And it's like, well, you know, Gronkowski's got his stuff too. The guy's got a reputation of being a party animal that he sort of fosters, but much, much, much different than Antonio Brown. I mean, you know, Gronk gets away with a lot, but what Antonio Brown has done in the past and now this is, you know, Gronkowski's party crews, you know, couldn't hold a candle to what AB's doing.
Yeah, this is my favorite quote, I think, of the day. We've got to hold people accountable. This is Antonio Brown. We got to hold organizations accountable for the way they treat people. Accountability from Antonio Brown. Yeah, what's next?
I know.
What's next? A how-to on how to do cryotherapy? He's the exact opposite of accountability. There's not a player who has less accountability right now. So why are we giving this guy too much space, airtime? Because he's obviously saying the opposite of what's real.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of palace intrigue here.
You know?
Yeah. Can he be unreliable? Yeah. Does he have a terrible past? All of that stuff. Has he been given 100 chances? But there's not only the fact that he is so skilled, even though you think that he's like the fifth best receiver on the Buccaneers, but he is still a great player. And I'm not saying that should give him a million chances, but we all know in the NFL it does. And then there's major palace intrigue because this is Tom Brady's team. They're the reigning Super Bowl champions.
Right.
They are, you know, in line to win another one. We were talking about NFC teams and how this Troy Aikman quote of the Green Bay Packers, you know, being vulnerable, got all this, you know, oxygen this week, and we thought that was pretty tame. Like, give us the front runner in the NFC. Like, I get that the Packers are the number one seed. I understand that, and that Aaron Rodgers is the favorite to be the MVP. But this is a flawed team, the Green Bay Packers. Their defense, you know, you can run on them. So in the NFC, who's betting against Tom Brady? That's why we're talking about this story so much.
There also is a quality about Antonio, but I do want to take a step back. He is likable. He is in the moment, you know, in the, maybe I'm thinking of the past, you know, I don't know if you've interviewed him at a Super Bowl or anything. Mm-mm. He, before things changed, he was one of the most likable players in the NFL. He was a Cinderella story out of a small school.
Sure.
I know behind the scenes, I don't know what was happening, but Antonio Brown was well-liked. Even in these interviews, you listen to him, you're like, you know what? He's entertaining. He's a guy you could hang with, unless, you know, there are some things in the past I really don't like. But as far as personality, you listen to these interviews, I'm like, oh, he sounds like a fun guy. But the reality behind what he's saying is ludicrous.
Yeah, of course. I was just thinking what I would do if I owned a media company. I would get Ava Louise and Antonio Brown to do a podcast together. This is the woman who spent the night with him before he had the blow up at MetLife Stadium. She was so engaging. And she was able to retell the story and retell the night in such an entertaining way. And the fact that Antonio Brown has never met a microphone that he doesn't love either, the two of them really could be something.
That'd
podcast,
be,
reality show.
Yeah, I like the
That's
reality
train
show.
Wreck.
Now, are they going to talk football or life or like, what do you expect out of this show? I think it has a far-reaching tentacles.
It really
I'd want to hear them talk about non-football. I want to know what they do on a daily basis.
They'll tell you.
Well, you're right.
Definitely will.
No, daily basis, not nightly basis. I actually don't want to know any of that.
Yes. You're the only one on earth that's just like, so what's your morning routine? No one else is wondering that about her.
By the way, the other day you told me about the Tommy Lee and Pamela Anderson show.
Yeah.
That's out already on Hulu.
Oh, I thought it was not coming out till February.
Oh, then maybe I saw a trailer. I saw I could click on it. So there is this, they have a feel, like a little, there's a little bit of that. Like, you know, doom romance,
Pam and Tommy.
Sex tape kind of couple.
Yeah. Listen, tale as old as time. I honestly thought that we were boy meets girl, boy films girl.
Girl says that the boy is worried about the Jets. Worried about the Jets.
Yeah, that never really made it into the old saying. But I thought that I thought sex tapes were a thing of the past. The Paris Hilton, Kim Kardashian, you know, everyone kind of played to obviously Pamela Anderson and Tommy Lee. Everyone kind of played this one, and I personally thought it was kind of played out.
Yeah. I mean, we made a big deal of when Antonio Brown held a camera on Facebook Live in the Steelers.
That Steelers sounds locker. Quaint.
If he actually did, if this was released Super Bowl week, this would be a much bigger deal. Now, speaking of sex tapes,
yes.
we have a guest. So, you know, I was, for years, I was at Dan Patrick's show. I'm like, let's get Will Brinson on. And Dan's like, no, not Will Brinson. Let's not, I don't want to do Brinson. No, I'm just kidding. Oh. It wasn't like that. But then this week, you know, Antonio Brown, when this news comes out, I'm like, well, who has their finger on the pulse of all things Antonio Brown? Mm. It's CBS Sports senior NFL writer and host of the one of my favorite podcasts, the Pick Six Pod, Will Brinson. And I'm not sure if he's ever been involved in this kind of scandal before. But Will, have you been following Antonio Brown all day? And could you have predicted these twists and turns in a million years?
No. Hey, by the way, congrats on the new show.
Thank you, guys.
Second of all, I would say that Perloff, you and I, like the closest thing I've had to a sex tape scandal of any kind is when Kyle Brandt used us in the Sam Darnold mono thing on Good Morning Football, suggesting that we had mono in college.
Oh yeah,
I didn't. Just absolute slanders. Kyle and I are still in deep-seated litigation over that.
Wow.
He made. No, I'm kidding.
Everyone said, by the way, Will, everyone said I was bragging that I got mono in college because it's a kissing disease or something, yeah. that it meant I kissed girls. Yeah, I mean, by college, I didn't get mono in high school. I just want to point that out. But sorry, go ahead, Will.
Yeah, I mean, no, I would say that followed the Antonio Brown saga, I mean, as closely as somebody who does my job would follow it, but I wasn't aware that he did a podcast today until a few minutes ago where he was ripping Tom Brady. And I mean, like, Tom Brady, how can this guy turn his back on Tom Brady? Tom Brady brought him to his house and let him live with his wife, let him sleep under the same roof as his wife and children multiple times in multiple cities. He's the only reason he kept getting a job. And now this guy's just turning his back on Tom Brady. If there's one person you don't turn your back on, that's how I know that Antonio Brown, who had sort of shifted the public conversation back towards him being a, not a reasonable human being, but a quiet citizen, a model citizen, as Bruce Arians described him, in the year and a half since he got to Tampa, and now he's just jabbing Tom Brady in the back publicly after he took his shirt off at a football game and gave the peace sign and sprinted into the tunnel, and Tom Brady then, his immediate comments were, let's all have some compassion. And AB turned around and jabbed him in the back. What are we doing here?
Well, Will, update for you. It turns out that Antonio Brown leaving the field could have been a lot more interesting. AB was considering mooning the crowd on the way out. He said he showed some self-restraint there, but it feels like a lot of things are kind of working against the Tampa Bay Bucs right now. I mean, this is a really big story. It's a massive distraction, even for Brady, who's been able to be singularly focused through these storms. I mean, this is a pretty big deal. And also point out, as I just did to our audience, the woman who we spent the night with before this game and before the blow-up has a video of them getting frisky and can release it whenever she wants. So that's just sort of a bullet in the chamber that she's got ready to go. This story may not be over for a long, long time. Does it feel like too much is in front of the Bucks this year?
A little bit, Maggie. I mean, I do think maybe even more so than all this like Antonio Brown distraction stuff, which is next level.
Yeah.
I mean, every time you think that you cover the NFL and you've seen the weirdest headline you think you'll ever see, or written the weirdest headline about a news story you'll ever write, something just comes along a few weeks later, and it's just 10 times weirder. And the Daily Mail headline where it's like Antonio Brown's steamy sex session in hotel room with OnlyFans model who gained fame for licking toilets to try and get coronavirus. Like, mm-hmm. Did I just read that?
That old headline.
Yeah. If I see that one more time today.
Right, that old chestnut, the classic classic AP style headline. Yeah, I mean, I think the Bucks problems for me don't even, I mean, I think the Antonio Brown thing is important, but more so from a football perspective, it's important in the aspect that this was one of the deepest, most talented, you know, skill set group that Tom Brady's ever had. Their offensive line is still very good. They should get playoff Lenny Fournette back. Ronald Jones has played well in his absence, and they have Mike Evans and the three-headed monster of Gronk, Cameron Brate, and O.J. Howard at tight end. But you know, they just don't scare as much at wide receiver as they did previously. And one of the differences between this year's Bucs team and last year's Bucs team is we can't be 100% sure that the defense is going to flick the switch in the playoffs the way that it did. The secondary last year was playing really well, and it's a nice compliment to all the guys up front. Now it's a whole different story. I mean, they can stop the run for sure, like, you know, especially if Zach Wilson's trying to sneak on fourth and two. But you can light them up if you've got a good passing offense and a strong offensive line. So I think they're a pretty bad matchup for the Rams. Or I think they match up poorly with the Rams, the Packers. You know, you can make the case of the Cardinals too. I mean, these teams have high octane passing offenses, good offensive line. They can withstand the pressure of the strength of the Bucs, which is the defensive line. It's going to be a tough road for them, and it was a tough road for them last year. But they just don't feel like they have the same sort of energy on defense and the strength on offense. Now, they do have Tom Brady, so far be it for me to bet against him.
We're talking to CBS Sports senior NFL writer Will Brinson. Now, Will, Antonio Brown's sort of taken over the news cycle, but we've had some familiar suspects this week creating headlines. Baker Mayfield in Cleveland going back and forth with the local media, which is not new, as you know. Where do you land on this? Do you think that it's really possible he could request a trade in the offseason?
I don't want to source guess at all, because that's not polite, and I think Mary Kay Cabot is very good at her job. So just putting those caveats out there. But I thought it was interesting, if you kind of read the article and go read the paragraph about Baker requesting a trade and read it like a second and third time, and you sort of start to realize, you know what, that might not be coming from Baker. If you really read it, it sounds like it's something that's coming from the team. Them basically saying, we think if Baker doesn't get his way this offseason and we don't make some changes, he might request a trade. And so I think that's why Baker probably responded the way that he did, because it didn't come from him or his camp. And he believes that, the Cleveland media is being used by the Browns in order to set up this sort of narrative that Baker is a bad guy and a bad teammate and doesn't want to play along with Kevin Stefanski and all that. The problem for them is, it's your option. And if you're Baker Mayfield, I don't believe you can take less than what Carson Wentz makes on an average annual basis, which is $32-ish million. And if you're the Browns, you really can't pay Baker Mayfield $35 million a year right now. That would go over poorly in a pitchfork and torch situation in Cleveland, where they're marching down to First Energy Stadium to provide you a new kind of energy. And so they're just in a rock and a hard place. And I think the only move, honestly, is to say, Baker, look, let's play out this fifth year option. Let's go have a good year. Have the year we thought we were having in 2021. Everybody get on the same page. They had a bunch of really bad luck with COVID and injuries and sort of, the early season, maybe it was week one, but I guess it was week one, the loss to the Chiefs where they were leading. Like, they could easily be a playoff team that's getting hot at the right time. It's just they got a ton of bad breaks, and Baker's been hurt and hadn't played very well. I think in a perfect world, you can just hit the reset button and say, let's go try to do what we were doing this past year. But it doesn't look like it's going to play out that way in Cleveland.
I have the perfect replacement for next year, Maggie. Will, can you guess who I think would fit in nicely, maybe he's familiar with the offense, has had success with the coach?
Well, knowing Perloff, he's got to be a career backup.
Yep.
I was going to guess Andy Dalton.
Red hair. That was going to be my second one. He's got to be a redhead, gingers only, and he's got to be journeyman?
Well, let me put it, he already lives in Cleveland right now.
Cousins.
Cousins is right in my wheelhouse, by the way. Just go with Case Keenum. Will, should they have been playing Keenum all year long with Baker Mayfield's shoulder hurt? I mean, Keenum's going to whoop Brandon Allen and the Bengals this weekend, and you guys are going to see.
They should have. Look, Case Keenum, I think Stefanski was the quarterback coach when they did the Minneapolis Miracle season, mm-hmm. and Shermer was the OC. But yeah, I mean, plenty of success with him. That was sort of the problem, Perloff, is the whole time Baker should have been pulled out this was always going to be his prove it contract year. And so he didn't want to step away, because then if Keenum comes in and is just as good as he is, then what does it say about his contract? Like, how can you possibly give that guy a contract? So I think that while Baker did the right thing last offseason, the way that it unfolded ended up working against him, because he played hurt, he played poorly, and Keenum would have been a perfectly serviceable replacement. I have no if the Browns – what the Browns should do is trade Baker to the Steelers for, like, a second-round pick and just play Case Keenum, and they'd probably be better off for it.
Man, that would be interesting. The QB carousel and trading them in the division, that'd be something. Will, final one for you. We just got a minute here. Has Rodgers locked up the MVP, and does he actually have Hub Arkish to thank for it, because Hub let his biases out, said the quiet part out loud, and now the media is going to feel like they have to vote for Rodgers so it doesn't look like they're holding the off-the-field stuff against him?
I think he was going to win it anyway, Maggie, but that definitely gave – now all of a sudden, if you didn't vote for Aaron Rodgers, your not your credentials, but your motives will be questioned pretty quickly. And I think – I didn't believe him when he first said it. I think Rodgers is going to play a quarter at least, and maybe a half on Sunday. They've got the bye locked up. He's not going to want to sit for 2 full weeks. He can come in and throw 3 touchdown passes, guarantee himself the MVP. You feel good about where you're going against, you know, blast the Lions. You feel good about where you're going with the, heading into the playoffs, and everybody's sort of happy, barring, you know, some bizarre injury. So I think we see a little bit of Rodgers, and he locks it up this weekend. I would bet the Packers first half if you have an opportunity.
Ah, I like that little nugget there for our audience. Where this interview started was allusions to a sex tape, but I think where it ended was a really positive note there, Will. Way to get this interview back on track, buddy.
Sex tape into gambling. That's mm-hmm. how we get here.
All right, Will.
All the vices.
My first legal bet this weekend in New York State, it's coming on Saturday. How about Cooper Kupp minus 4,000 for MVP? Would you buy that as a risk if he goes off this week?
Like plus, like 40-1? No, you got to give me like 400-1.
All right, fine. No,
it's Rodgers or Brady. That's it. I love Cooper Kupp. Offensive player of the year, yes. MVP, no chance. They'll give it to a receiver.
Will, thank you so much for the time. Thanks for being part of our inaugural week here on the Maggie and Perloff Show. Hope to do it again soon, bud.
Hey, anytime. Thanks again and congrats, guys.
Oh, thanks so much. That was Will Brinson, of course, CBS Sports senior NFL writer, CBS Sports HQ NFL analyst, and the co-host of the Pick Six podcast. A must listen.
Yeah, it's an awesome podcast. It's Will and his two buddies, and it's one of those podcasts they've been doing together for years, and they sound like old friends. It's a lot of fun.
Okay, so Perloff just alluded to it. Aaron Rodgers, definitely the front runner for MVP, but is there another player that's getting screwed? We'll tell you who next. Don't move. More Maggie and Perloff straight ahead.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. As I mentioned last week, finally New York has online betting, which I'm excited for.
Yeah.
We're going to talk later. We're going to make some picks for you.
Yep.
So there's one award that's gotten a lot of action this year, and it's gone up and down. And I want to get, we talked about it with Will, I want to get a little deeper into this NFL MVP vote. Something, by the way, which we talk about a lot leading up to the vote, which we never even remember after it happens. I know Aaron Rodgers won last year. Who won 2 years ago, I'm not sure. But I feel like everyone has shown up the MVP vote, and it's just too soon, Maggie.
Do I smell an against the grain?
I think you do. Hit the music.
Against the grain.
Okay, so we just had Will Brinson on. He said it's basically done. It's Aaron Rodgers is going to win the NFL MVP. Maybe Tom Brady is second. Let me take you back in a time machine, Maggie.
Okay.
2012, when the NFL was a much simpler place. Nobody yeah. cared about head injuries. Everybody was sort of doing their own thing. There was no Instagram Live. Basically, it was a simple NFL. A young man named Adrian Peterson came in to week 17 when there were just 17 weeks. And ran for 199 yards against the Packers to get up to 2,097 on the season, just short of Eric Dickerson's all-time mark. And he led the Vikings into the playoffs. It was an incredible day. He was coming off ACL surgery, an incredible narrative, as they say. He won the MVP that year. He was the last non-quarterback to win the MVP. Now, I remember that year very well. Adrian Peterson was not the front runner heading into that week. It was Peyton Manning by a mile. Manning was just coming off his injury. He just got to Denver. Killed it in the second half of the season, was unbelievable. He was going to win the MVP. Now, Peterson became the story, and you know how the NFL media reacts. Every week is like a new season. So if this week Cooper Kupp of the Los Angeles Rams just goes off, gets 136 yards to beat Calvin Johnson's single season receiving record, even though it's in 17 games.
Right.
He could break the all-time catches record from Michael Thomas in 2019. He could win the Triple Crown for leading the league in receiving yards, catches, and receiving touchdowns. He's almost 40% of the Rams' targets are Cooper Kupp. He is that team. If you watch the Rams, it's not just like he's collecting numbers. In an important game, there is one guy you got to watch, Cooper Kupp, and defenses still can't slow him down. He is as important as any non-quarterback. But I think he has an outside chance, even though his odds are low, to make a strong MVP case this final week. I was shocked. There are a lot of guys that are ahead of him. You know, Tom Brady, Jonathan Taylor's ahead of him. Cooper Kupp is going to get a lot of headlines this week. And if he goes off this week against the Niners in an important game, a game that means anything, a game that people are going to have their eyes on, I think Cooper Kupp could make an Adrian Peterson last-second run to an MVP.
Man, it's interesting, but what's in front of him, I think, is a little too great. Mm. If Aaron Rodgers actually does play a half and is able to throw a couple more touchdowns, it's not even like Rodgers is like, you know, leading. He's not leading the league in touchdown throws, but
Rodgers' overall numbers are way down. His efficiency is crazy high, but he's 1,000 yards behind Tom Brady. He's not even 4,000 yards right now.
Right, and he obviously hasn't played every game. So I think that part of the reason why Rodgers is going to play this week is, yes, to keep himself fresh, the momentum. We found out, you know, from the Adam Schein podcast, he hasn't practiced in 6 weeks because of the toe. So the time he's really getting the reps is really like in the game. If it wasn't Rodgers and Brady that Cooper Kupp had to battle, you mentioned Adrian Peterson in 2012. I mean, at that point, Peyton Manning had already won 4 MVPs. He ended up winning another one in Denver, right, to give him the fifth. But at that point, he had already won so many. I know this would be the third for Aaron Rodgers, but I could see where Peterson and that last push would put him over the edge. Remember also, he was coming back, not that specific season, but had just come back from an ACL where he healed faster than like anyone ever had in the history of humankind.
And he led a team that had 3 wins a year before to the playoffs at 10-6. They didn't do anything, but that was a big reversal. Any of that magic with Kupp?
No, because it's a star-studded team that was in the Super Bowl not too long ago. And so they don't have that out of nowhere. You can't say you didn't see the Rams coming, you know.
Right.
They might not have crazy star wide receivers, and Cooper Kupp is definitely the best of the bunch. But you can't say that he's solely responsible for like some kind of big turnaround like Adrian Peterson was in 2012.
Right.
If he wasn't facing this level of star power in front of him, I think that Cooper Kupp would have a better shot.
But maybe there's a little Rodgers fatigue because he won it last year. This would actually be his 4th MVP.
So think about it. Rodgers really didn't even move to the front of the pack until Brady laid the egg against the Saints.
3 weeks ago, it wasn't Aaron Rodgers. That's why I'm saying it can turn quickly.
Mm.
Now, the only problem is Aaron Rodgers can't really hurt himself this week. If he had a New Orleans Saints 9-0 win over the Bucks, then it would turn fast.
Yeah, but it's not going to happen.
You're right. Well, you know what? Detroit. They're frisky.
Yes,
frisky is the word of the week, by the way. The funny thing about Aaron Rodgers,
we describe for a lot of things as frisky.
He's not really having that great of a season. I know his touchdown to interception ratio is crazy, 35-4, but he's down on yards. Well, he's a little down on yards because he missed a game, but they have so much on that offense. They're running the ball like they haven't in a while. Their defense at times is playing really well. I don't feel like this is really a season where it's all Aaron Rodgers. Like, sometimes it's been in the past.
I mean, I think there's other metrics that would tell you it is. I think his QBR is one of the things that's, like, off the charts with Aaron Rodgers. So maybe there's some, you know, more of the peripherals as opposed to the traditional stats that are telling you what a great season he had. I think that he's getting the benefit here of not just, I think he is having a great season, but he's getting the benefit here of Brady laying that egg, and that was a really that was a huge game that everyone was watching with the Buccaneers and the Saints. And you really have seen guys who have had flaws. And with Rodgers, it's really hard to tell where the flaws are. It's almost like instead of MVP, he's almost getting like a consistency award.
Right.
You know, which that happens sometimes with this award.
Well, you know, his QBR is actually down. Last year was 79.8. It's at 67.5 this year. His passer rating is down by 10 points. He just hasn't had to put up the crazy numbers he did last year. But the biggest indictment is the division. I mean, come on. He's beaten the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, but
the Chicago Bears are a mess.
But Perloff,
Sean Mannion.
Nobody brought that up when Brady was winning MVPs in the
AFCs.
Well, thank you for doing it.
Peyton Manning was beating terrible expansion team laden AFC South. I brought it up. Well, this is important. I mean,
I don't know if you said it loud enough.
No, nobody listened to me. Don't get me wrong. But Aaron Rodgers, come on. I mean, you saw the Vikings game. That shouldn't even count on his record. It's been such a weird season. Brady's actually had bigger challenges. And Cooper Kupp, if you take him off that Rams offense, where are they? Are they in competition in the NFC?
Well, maybe.
Lost Robert Woods, who was a key to them. Their running backs have been a mess. Stafford's been a little inconsistent. He's been throwing some bad picks. He's been the one steady factor on the offense.
Well, yeah, but I mean, Odell has come here and basically turned around his reputation. I mean, I think that Odell, especially, where would they have been? I know Kupp was a huge part of their win last week in the comeback over the Ravens, but on that last final drive, it was Kupp, but it was Odell who caught the big fourth down pass and then caught the touchdown too. And I'm not just like cherry picking a moment here, but yeah, I mean, of course, Kupp is really important to their offense. So is Devontae Adams important to Aaron Rodgers. And so is, you know, Mike Evans to Tom Brady. And so is yada, yada. We go down the list, Stephon Diggs to Josh Allen. I mean, they all are that important. Listen, Kupp is having an unbelievable season. It's a shame because I think there's also a part of this that's working against him, which is he's talking about breaking Calvin Johnson's record and how good Calvin Johnson was. Well, Calvin Johnson didn't win the MVP that year. Jerry Rice didn't. You know, you have these receivers that are incredible receivers. No offense to Cooper Kupp, who's still on the ascent. But if you have all these other receivers throughout NFL history who were incredible Hall of Famers and they didn't get in, or they didn't win the award, rather, is Cooper Kupp going to be the guy who's going to break this seal? I don't think so.
Yeah, you're right. Jerry Rice not winning the MVP, that kind of hurts Cooper Kupp. Calvin Johnson, who's the most unstoppable wide receiver I've ever seen. I've never seen anyone beat a double team more consistently.
Randy
Moss with the Patriots. So is that fair that a wide receiver will never win?
I don't think that I would never say never, but the fact that none have yet, do I think that Cooper Kupp is all of a sudden going to be the guy who's going to come along and revolutionize this and be the first? I just think he's facing too much. He's facing too much in the star power of Rodgers and Brady.
By the way, we did have a wide receiver win the Heisman. Devontae Smith came out of nowhere. Maybe there's a trend. You know, it's funny because wide receiver, there are a lot of really good ones.
Amazing.
But these guys like Ja'Marr Chase, you've seen like an instant franchise-changing wide receiver is a thing. So maybe in the next couple of years, a Cooper Kupp, a Ja'Marr Chase, a Devontae Adams will win it. And Tyreek Hill, right? There's seven or eight guys. I mean, by the way, I did argue yesterday Tom Brady should win it. I'm more saying that the media is gullible enough to have a one-week complete turnaround. You know this, Maggie. You know if Cooper Kupp goes off and breaks all these records on national TV and everybody is watching it, Cooper Kupp is going to be the big star of Monday morning next week.
Well, of course, we know that he is only 136 yards away from breaking Calvin Johnson's single-season record, but there's a lot more on the line in the NFL. $1.5 million for a sack, you say? Who's playing for more than just the name on the front of the jersey? We'll tell you who's in line for some major incentives and what could they spend it on. Here's Rich Ackerman of the CBS Sports Update. Sunday, it's the NFL on CBS regular season finale, and we're in for plenty of cliffhangers as teams battle to make their postseason push. Who's in? Who's out? Get up to speed on all the playoff scenarios leading up to kickoff beginning at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on the NFL Today. It's the NFL on CBS regular season finale this Sunday on CBS. It's Maggie and Perloff. If you're listening to us, you're catching the end of our debut week. We made it to a Friday here, and it's just been an excellent first week on CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM Channel 158. If you want to talk to us, well, you can communicate through Twitter. How about that? At Maggie and Pearl. You can also hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/Maggie and Perloff. Okay, we know that there's a lot on the line in terms of playoff scenarios this weekend. Win and in, if you're the Chargers and the Las Vegas Raiders, a lot of jockeying for seeding and other things. That's team-wise.
Yeah.
Individually, there's a lot of player incentives that could be kicking in this final week of the season.
Yeah. You know, as I look at this list, player incentives are a bad idea. I don't know why the NFL puts these. Because all of a sudden, all these players have this individual motive that have nothing to do with the team.
No, but it's great because even if you're on a team that's totally out of it and not playing for something, you're still playing for something.
So if you're a linebacker who needs two sacks to get $1 million, you're ignoring every defensive play call and running like wild at the quarterback. Even if the quarterback doesn't have the ball, you're breaking down. You're getting personal fouls. This is $1 million. It doesn't seem like in the spirit of team sports.
You know, it's funny. It's like that really is the best argument for not playing your starting quarterback
exactly.
in the final week of the season is the incentives on the opposition's defense and some guy who's going for an extra $500K who's going to try to take out your quarterback. So we have some notable incentives for this week. And then as a correspondence, a correlation rather, we also have a list that our producer Mike Samter has put together of things rich people buy. That's literally the name. This is the title that's on this sheet of paper. It's got such things on it as golden shoelaces. How do you even tie a golden shoelace? I don't know. It's not like a gold chain. Diamond encrusted pacifier. Meanwhile, the shoelaces go for $19,000. The diamond encrusted pacifier for $17,000. You can buy a vacuum cleaner with Swarovski crystals for $20,000. All right, well, let's go through some of these incentives and then what these guys can buy with these incentives. So here we go. Panthers linebacker. So Panthers, right? Nothing to play for. Hassan Reddick has 11 sacks this season. If he picks up two more, he'll earn $1 million. Look out, Tom Brady, because with $1 million, you could buy two solid gold bicycles.
Wow. Now, do you have any idea that these bicycles work?
TBD. Does it matter?
You didn't mention you can clone a dog for $50,000. Okay, he's going to get $1 million if he gets to Brady somehow twice, which would be very bad for Tom Brady, by the way.
Yeah.
So wait, for $1 million, we could do better than a gold bicycle.
No, two gold bicycles.
Two gold bicycles?
Yeah. You can also book two trips to space on Blue Origin.
Two trips to space.
Two. You can have two seats, or maybe one. You can spread out.
How much does it cost to bring your gold bicycle on the Blue Origin plane,
and
you could fly a bike in space?
Your solid gold bicycle in zero G.
I don't know Hassan Reddick, but I don't know if he's going to spend his money here.
Well, these are just merely suggestions for him. You know, maybe he's already got his trip to space booked. I don't know. Ravens linebacker Justin Houston could collect $2 million if he gets 1.5 sacks, but it also would depend on some Ravens rankings and stuff like that. Bottom line is $2 million for 1.5 sacks, so he would be almost at a 2020 Azimut 60-foot flybridge yacht. That's $2.2 million.
That I want. When I see like NFL owners getting bigger yachts, like big yachts, I want a yacht.
That's your thing?
I have to admit.
You're a
yacht
guy?
No, I don't really want a yacht. Yes, I sometimes will go on Google and I will Google fancy yachts and see what they have in them.
Wow.
You've never looked at
it? I learned something new about you today.
You know how some people look around at real estate? I look at yachts. You're not fascinated by those giant yachts that billionaires have?
I got to be honest. When I look at you, nothing about you screams water, ocean. I would have thought you would be afraid of the water, the ocean.
We're talking about a yacht. We're not talking about whitewater rafting, yes. Maggie. Yeah, I have been on Shad Khan's yacht at Super Bowl.
You?
Remember, there was a Super Bowl somewhere. I found myself on Shad Khan's yacht with J.J. Watt. That's a huge name drop.
Wow. And it also bizarrely rhymed, which made it kind of lamer.
Yeah, but it was cool. And in the bathroom, there was a Louis Vuitton. What do you call it? On the walls were made of Louis Vuitton leather.
The wallpaper?
The wallpaper was Louis, but it was real Louis Vuitton leather. And you don't want to.
What do you get for the guy who has everything?
You're telling me if Justin Houston doesn't get these 1.5 sacks, he doesn't want to buy a Louis Vuitton wallpaper
yacht?
I can't believe it. I would think you'd be on this yacht thing with me. If Maggie and Perloff takes off, I kind of assumed that we were going to get a show yacht.
Our first purchase is doing the show for
a yacht. Is a show yacht?
I just am finding it hard to believe that you're a yacht guy. But let's move on to a couple other incentives here. Let's see, Odell Beckham Jr., his $3 million in incentives don't actually kick in until the playoffs. He gets $500,000 if the team wins the wild card round, $750,000 if they win the divisional, $750,000 if they win the NFC championship, and then another $500,000 just to make the Super Bowl, $1 million if they win the Super Bowl. What is so funny? No?
Michael is suggesting that he buys 20,000 kicking nets with the money.
That he can propose to all of them.
Now, Odell Beckham, by the way, these things are this rich of things rich people buy. I feel like Odell Beckham would be legitimately interested in some of these.
Yeah. He feels like a guy. He doesn't have Marty. He's like black crocodile leather umbrella for $50,000. Like, I've got three at home.
Yeah, he feels like he definitely could own a private jet. He's a yacht guy. There's no question about it.
One sounds like it's fake. Luxury ice? $350 for a pack of fit. What is luxury ice? Like Evian water that they froze? I don't get it.
But why would you have to pay $350?
For a pack of 50.
Wait.
Because it's luxury ice.
Explain this.
Much different than regular ice.
What are these dumplings? What?
Blue dumplings made from deep water horned lantern fish. It's going to go for $2,400 for 8.
What is a blue dumpling? Why not just a dumpling? What is the color of the dumpling?
Well, because that's what makes it unique.
Deep water horned lantern fish. I actually, $2,400 is not that outrageous. We could get that.
For one order of 8 dumplings. Can you put soy sauce on that? Because then I feel like everything kind of tastes like soy sauce.
Yeah, but what's the point of drowning?
It's
you
like,
can't
wow,
drown a blue dumpling.
Fish with all the wasabi and soy sauce on it, might as well taste like sushi I got at the the grocery store.
I'll have one spicy tuna roll. I'll have the salmon avocado roll. And I'll have a blue dumpling made from deep water horned lantern fish, please.
Do you feel like the waiter needs to be like, are you sure you want that?
Yeah, I think that's a...
Do they give you an out? No, probably not.
We should go to like a fancy sushi place like Nobu and say, how is your deep water horned lantern fish dumplings today? Are they fresh?
Yeah, that's going to make us
sound
like
real. For
the record,
the restaurant that does sell the blue dumplings is in New York City, so we can go.
Of course it is.
Which restaurant?
I have to double check the name of it.
Stand by. Okay, so here's an interesting one. Rob Gronkowski. He has 48 catches, 665 yards, and 6 touchdowns. If he gets to 55 catches... We're talking 7 away. He'll make another $500,000. If he reaches 750 yards, he'll make another $500,000. 9 touchdowns, it's another $500,000. How aware of these incentives do you think Brady is?
Well, Brady and Gronk are close. Yeah. You know, I don't know if Gronk needs the money that badly. Brady and Gronk are in a bit of a different circle.
Needing the money. We're talking about buying deep water horned lantern fish. This is obviously not about needing the money.
Well, we know Rob Gronkowski's tried to lie his way into cheaper insurance with USAA. So maybe that's the first thing he dresses is to get some solid health insurance. But there are a lot of things.
Another $1.5 million. Still can't get the rate.
Speaking of things that Gronk would enjoy, you got definitely a yacht or a private jet. I mean, can you imagine flying somewhere with Rob Gronkowski and his crew in a private jet?
Well, he had the cruise, the Gronk cruise.
Oh, right.
That was a place to catch a beat.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to go on the Gronk cruise. I could see him getting luxury ice, by the way, and just like just having thousands of drinks on it, just throwing into any drink just to see what it's like.
Okay, this is someone who I'm rooting for to get the incentives. Not that I don't want all these guys to get them. Sure, make your money. Your careers are so short. But Washington football team quarterback Taylor Heineke, okay?
Great story.
So he's only making $1 million. Only. I mean, that'd be awesome for all of us. But he's only making $1 million. That's small for NFL money. He'll make an extra $125,000 he makes an extra $125,000 for every win when he plays at least 60% of the snaps. If he wins Sunday, the $875,000 in bonuses will come close to doubling his base salary. That I'm rooting for.
Well, I have good news for you.
What do you got?
I believe he plays the Giants.
Yeah, so he's going to play.
Yeah. Does he get paid in the offseason? And because right now, all he can do is really clone his cat for that much money. He wants a gold bed with precious stones. He's going to have to sign a much bigger deal.
He can go to the Palms Casino Resort's Empathy Suite. That's $100,000 a night.
He does not strike me as a Palms Casino. Is that where they did the real world? Doesn't the Palms have the real world suite? Must be the same thing.
Maybe.
Taylor Heineke, by the way, he's right in my wheelhouse of mid-level quarterbacks.
I'm surprised you guys aren't DMing right now.
Yeah, Taylor Heineke. If there is a person on the entire incentive list who will not buy a golden iPhone with pink diamond, that would be Taylor Heineke.
Okay, so here's another thing about this list. If we're talking about private islands, as one does when they're in line for all these types of incentives,
right?
You can go to the Virginia Kay Island, which is near Belize.
Right.
For $500,000. You get the whole island for $500,000? That's it?
I don't understand.
Does it come with like a butler or something?
It must be a small island.
$500,000. But yet, if you want to go to Thailand and go to, and I'm not going to pronounce this right, even though I've been to Thailand before and it was beautiful, Rangai Island, it's $160 million.
Okay.
That's a really big difference there.
I've just Googled Rangai Island and it is sick. I could use an island like this.
Hope so.
Yeah, for now. But the problem is, are we talking about an island like it's a survivalist island? Like everything goes
like
south?
Bear Grylls is waiting for you? Yes. It's like, oh, no.
I actually am immediately evaluating it. I also have sneaky survivalist skills, Maggie. I bet you didn't predict that about me. I don't see a source of water here on Rangai Island. But I got to tell you, if you want to.
The ocean.
Well, it's a little salty. Yeah, so I've done two trips to Thailand, by the way. I did not know.
I didn't even see you there.
There are so many things you don't know about me, Maggie, and the audience doesn't know.
And the fact we've been friends for 10 years, and I never knew that until today.
Yeah, I was hanging out on Rangai Island with my friend Taylor Heineke.
Just, you know, riding your golden bicycles.
Yeah.
As you will. Speaking of funny things, so that's some of the incentives to keep an eye on for this weekend. Speaking of money, I saw this story about Logan Paul, because everything he does is a story, and Jake Paul.
He could probably afford Rangai Island the way his pay-per-views are going.
He's probably there right now. Logan Paul, so I'm not a big collector. I'm not a big memorabilia person, but I obviously understand that this has blown up. You know, sports cards, all types of cards.
NFTs, obviously.
NFTs, of course. Sure, someone will explain that to me one day for the millionth time. Logan Paul was really into Pokemon cards. So he went and bought $3.5 million worth of these very rare Pokemon cards. Turns out they're fake.
Oh no. The whole thing.
I laughed. I mean, I know that the memorabilia world, it's like, this is a little shady here with sometimes with these memorabilia places. You got to make sure all that stuff is verified. Come on.
Who makes $3 million worth of fake Pokemon cards?
Someone who saw Logan Paul coming a mile away.
I knew Pokemon cards were a big deal. Your guy, Gary Vaynerchuk.
Yes, I know.
His passion is Pokemon cards. He talks about them all the time.
So not to name drop, but yes, I am friendly with Gary V, and he's such a great guy. And he was on me because I didn't spend $25,000 for a Josh Allen rookie card.
Like, as he should have been.
Why would you ever think that I would invest $25,000 into a Josh Allen rookie card?
Well, keep in mind, this
he's
Gary
like, you missed out. It's worth $100,000.
Yeah, he's a guy who can afford a golden iPhone. He just ate a Deepwater Horn lanternfish dumpling. I would take his advice, Maggie.
He's eating them two at a time.
Yeah.
Oh, man. More Maggie and Perloff coming up. Perloff and I put money in your pocket. It's our top five picks for week 18. Don't move.